seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 29 and verse 11. Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The 29th Psalm and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David continually desired through his life, as he speaks of it here, to give the Lord the glory in all things. And he speaks here in this beautiful psalm of the great power of his God. And not only the great power of the Lord, but too, the great power of his voice. We so often read, don't we, in the Word of God, he spake and it was done. If ever there's a day we need the Lord to speak to our souls and speak to Zion, and we do we not need him to speak in this nation, but we tremble really how the Lord will speak, because he speaks sometimes through very solemn circumstances. We read in the prophecy of Habakkuk, he said, I heard thy speech and was afraid. And are there not many when the Lord speaks through the sea, or speaks through the wind, or speaks through the calamities there are in the earth, but how few take heed to it? But I want to set before you a little concerning this last verse has helped. He says in the previous verse, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. What a mercy it is that the Lord is king. He reigns. He's in control of all things. Nothing is out of control with the Lord. He sitteth king forever. But our text said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Are there those tonight that need such a word as this from the Lord? Oh, I felt when this text came, how we need what's set forth in it. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Now, first of all, you will notice this promise is given just to the people of God. He didn't say he would strengthen the world. He didn't say he would strengthen the ungodly. He didn't say that he would just strengthen those that have a profession of religion. It is confined to God's dear children. Now the vital thing is, are we among them? This will be the important question that so often our souls need to consider. The hymn writer said, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?' We need to solemnly pause, have we the evidences we're among his people. When we say his people, it is those that God the Father in eternity past gave to his beloved Son to come into this world to suffer, to bleed, to die for. What did he say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And oh, how in John 17, which you can read at your leisure, he prays for this beloved people. It is a people that is love with an everlasting love. It is a people that he will make himself known to as their God, their Saviour, their friend. Dear Annie Steele, in the hymn she said, didn't she, "My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine." Now are these longings and desires yours and mine? You know, it doesn't concern the world or the ungodly or just the professor of religion. They take it for granted, and we by nature would be just the same, that we're one of the Lord's children. But we want to know it, don't we? Personally. Am I his or am I not? And may the Lord come and settle that matter, which only he can. Because our text speaks, the Lord will give strength unto who? His people. His that he has redeemed with his own precious blood. His that he came to suffer, bleed and die for. You see, we're all sinners. We all need redeeming love. We all need a Saviour and a great one. And how we need the Lord to whisper what he did in that beautiful chapter in Isaiah, and may he speak into each of our souls. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You know, the Lord does claim his dear children. Well, let us reverse it. Is your prayer like the hymn writers? Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. You know, when the Lord showed to Thomas those pierced hands and his pierced side, what a blessed effect it had on the dear man, didn't it? He had a glimpse, and faith will have a glimpse of those pierced hands and feet and side. And what did Thomas say? From a very soft-hearted Thomas, "My Lord and my God." That wasn't presumption. That was faith in gracious exercise, viewing the dear Redeemer as his Saviour, his all and in all. The Lord will give strength unto his people. His people are those he's working in because he loves them. And as he works in us, he will show us what wretched sinners we are and the great need we have of a dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus. What does the hymn writer say? And may it be our fervent prayer, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood, and to our wandering minds reveal the secret love of God. Show me that lovely man that rules the courts of bliss, the mighty God, the eternal King, the glorious Prince of Peace. His people. You may look at others and you may be able to say, well, we know they're God's children, but what we want to know is for ourselves. And it's, you know, the more we know of our sin, the more we know of our wretchedness, the more we know of our own deceitful heart, the more we shall need a precious Jesus. Because it's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Now this promise is to his people. The Lord will give strength unto his people. They're going to need it. None of us know what we may have to go through if we're spared and time is spared. But there's one thing we do know, we're going to need strength. And that is not in ourselves. The strength the child of God needs is drawn from the dear Lord Jesus. He is their strength. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 28? The Lord is my strength. If ever a man needed it, David did. And here the Lord has promised. And what a promise it is, you know. I felt so much since the Lord dropped it into my heart. How much we need this. And how much we need the Lord to speak it to us. The Lord will give. He didn't say he may do, or perhaps he will, or you do this and you do that and then I'll give you strength. He didn't say that, did he? He says, the Lord will give. There's a wonderful certainty here. He will give strength unto his people. And you think of it in the life of David, how many times, and he could well write this from experience, he needed the Lord to give him strength. How could he care for his father's sheep? It was only as the Lord gave him strength to. How could he overcome the lion and the bear? Well, this promise David had proved, hadn't he? The Lord will give strength unto his people. And how did he overcome those mighty animals? The Lord gave him strength. And how did he overcome Goliath? The Lord gave him strength. He gave him the strength of faith as he went up to that battle, believing the Lord would put the giant down, and the Lord gave him strength, that strength of faith and the strength of gracious anticipation to believe the Lord would do it. And then you think of him being anointed as king. How was he going to fulfill that great office as king over Israel and then over Judah to the whole realm? It was as the Lord gave him strength. And then when he was under much persecution and opposition from Saul, how did he endure it? And you think of some throughout the earth today that are enduring severe persecution. And how could they endure it? Well, if they're the children of God, and you and I are, it'll be as he gives us strength. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Strength enough. And speaking of the Lord Jesus. And this applies not only to his dear people, it applies to the dear Redeemer in his sufferings. Strength enough and none to spare. And you see, there are times when that's how it'll be with each of us. So this is a wonderful word, really. It's a word that you can face the future with. You can face the unknown way with. The Lord will give strength unto his people. There's no doubt about it. You may say, if only I felt that confidence tonight. It may be there are those of you faced with things that I may not even name. And you may come up tonight, how shall we face them? How shall we endure them? Well, the answer's in our text, and it's not my word. The Lord will give strength unto his people. And of course, if we may just tarry thinking of this sacred season of the year we're about to enter into, to consider the sufferings and death of the dear Redeemer, you think how, as man, verily man, yet verily God, but as man, the great need he had of strength to be given him. Well, I've often referred to the dear Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where there was dispatched from heaven that angel to strengthen him. And those agonies and sorrows were so great. Now, some of you may have got things that are causing you much sorrow tonight. And you may say, well, how can we endure this sorrow? Well, you cannot yourself, poor soul, can you? But how can you endure it? As he fulfills this beautiful word, the Lord will give strength. And as he gives strength, you're about to endure it. Think of the dear Redeemer. And well can he sympathise with his dear people. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. And you know, there's one thing that will help you to endure the onslaughts of Satan and the sorrows, the troubles, the afflictions that you may have to walk through, and that is if the Lord gives you a little faith to view the great agonies that he endured. I've told you before that back in 1980, when I had so much trial and trouble in my soul and in circumstance and too in the church when I was pastor at Ashwell, you know, I thought it would drive me to despair. And it did, virtually. The doctor sent me away and they told me I'd not got to go anywhere near the chapel or anything that was to cause me trouble. I was in such a dark and distressed place. And I often look back at it, you know, and I think, well, what carried me through it all? I'll tell you what carried me through. The Lord set before me a little of what he endured. Before me, whenever I felt to be sinking and coming to the end of everything, the Lord set before me his sufferings, his agonies, especially with those words where his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Being in an agony, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And you know, whenever I felt to come to the end and I said, Lord, I cannot endure it, he set that before me. And you know, that carried me through. Particularly with those beautiful words of the hymn writer. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? The Lord will give strength unto his people. Now, you think of the afflictions that you may have upon you. He will give strength unto his people. Think of what the Lord promised Asher in that blessing in Deuteronomy 33. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And then you think of those troubles of soul you may have, the troubles of circumstance, the troubles of family, the troubles of the church of God. He will give strength unto his people. And he'll give you strength too to resist Satan. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what will the Holy Spirit do? The Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him. And he'll give you strength to stand against the adversary. He's mighty, but you've got a mighty God to carry you through and to deliver you from this mighty foe. The Lord will give strength unto his people. But then, in all the sorrows of the way and the distresses, the things you need to the Lord to give you strength in, he has promised to do it. But let us look at it in another way. As the Lord may help. This is a wonderful word for the real followers of the Lord Jesus. His people. You think of those dear disciples, how he gave them strength to follow the Lord. I think of many godly souls that have followed the Lord in their latter days of their life, and the Lord has given them strength to do it and strength to follow it. Like in the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, my late dear grandfather, 82, and the Lord gave him strength. When dear Mr. Mulvey baptised him, he preached on that beautiful word in the Revelations, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man shall shut it. Yet thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word and not denied my name." You know, I've never forgot him. And how he said to him at the pool, "He's given you a little strength to venture." And you see, that was a wonderful fulfillment in that text, wasn't it? And then we think of dear Mrs. Brooks, the Lord favoured me to baptise a brave one, 83. And after I baptised her, the dear soul, you know, she didn't want to come out of the water. I announced the benediction in the water. And she said to me, you know, "I didn't want to come out of it." And she said the Lord had so favoured her in it. She said, "I didn't want to come out and lose the blessing." You know, it's a wonderful season, isn't it? Dear Mr. Dick Berg in America, was he not 95 when he ventured? And it's a wonderful thing, you know, when he gives strength, you see. But then to those of you younger, you're going to need the same strength. Oh yes. And you think, in all what may concern you regarding the steps of the unknown way, how shall we walk out this profession? How shall we be able to endure? Well, you cannot yourself, can you? But this text will carry you. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Now this is what he has said. It's the Lord's word. It's not just David's word or mine. It was the Lord's word. The Lord will give. You see, the God of heaven, whom David served, whom David loved, spoke this word. The Lord will, see the certainty, give. It's absolutely free. That strength that you will need, whatever it may be you've got to walk through, not only through life, but in death too, he will give strength unto his people. And do we not need it? Oh, the many times I've gone into the pulpit over the years, and especially in times of much weakness, and I've proved this, for a beautiful word, the Lord will give strength. And he'll give it in that hour when you need it most. Oh, he will. And you young ones may have things before you, and you may say, "Lord, but how can I walk through them? How can I endure? How can I face the difficulties?" The Lord will give strength. But much further could be said upon this, but I want to go to the next clause. But just one thing, and it's this. This is a word that you can plead before the Lord. You can take it back to him and say, Lord, thou hast promised me thou wilt do this. And what he has promised, he ever will fulfill. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He'll bless them with peace. You may feel tonight like the disciples when they were tossed around in the sea. And you know, when you're tossed around like they were in a sea, there doesn't seem any peace, does it? Oh no. There's tossings within us, tossed to and fro. There's tossings literally with the waves. There's the tossings with the wind. And there's nothing at all to resemble peace, is there? And the disciples couldn't calm the sea. And the disciples couldn't calm their own fears. And nor could they calm each other. They may have tried. But what was the Lord Jesus to do? He was to come to them walking upon the sea. And what does he say? Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And you look how he made the sea a calm. So there was peace. Oh, instead of those waves, there was such a sweet calm upon that sea. And not only upon the sea, but in the disciples' hearts. We read Psalm 107 at your leisure. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Oh, that peace. But then, where does this peace flow from? It flows through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, it does. Those of you that sin is causing you so much anxiety, so much concern, so much trouble, so much soul exercise tonight. You're so tossed around by all those sins that plague you. Poor soul, there is a blessed remedy for sinners in the precious blood of Jesus. And in Calvary. Calvary's peace. What do we sing in the hymn? Peace by his cross as Jesus made. And all you think of that, those glorious couplets in that hymn. This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And it all flows, you see, from the dear Redeemer. The Lord will bless his people. And what a blessing it is, isn't it? Peace. His people with peace. And you see, this is what is set before his dear people. This glorious peace. What is it? Endless peace, everlasting peace, eternal peace in heaven. Think of those dear souls that are now landed in glory. They're at peace, aren't they? You know, there's no, and I speak this rightly, There's no trouble in heaven. There's no affliction there. There's no sin there. There's eternal peace. And the Lord has promised this, you see, and that is set before God's dear children, the longing to be at peace forever with the Lord, in His sacred presence forever. And these tastes of peace here, His pardoning love, a sweet sense of sin forgiven, and all the peace that flows into your soul. A glimpse of the dear Redeemer suffering, bleeding and dying for you at Calvary. And what would it be the effect? It'd be peace. It brings peace. One of the names given to the dear Redeemer by the Lord Himself through the prophet Isaiah was that beautiful word, the Prince of Peace. What a sacred name that was given to the Saviour, the Prince of Peace. There are many in this solemn day that will say, as we read in Isaiah again, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And what do we read too in Isaiah? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, what a solemn thing if we have false peace, but what a blessed thing to have real peace. But I must leave it, the time's gone. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless. He will bless. The devil may say, ah, oh, but this is not for you. But think of this sweet promise, and may the Lord apply it to you. You can face the adversary with this. The Lord has said, He will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless, there's no doubt about it, His people with peace. Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text, if nothing I've rambled round this evening.